you let me know when you're starting. Well, I guess you just start when you start.
I will let you know when I'm starting.
I don't listen to you on the show.
Who does? Whenever I talk, the ratings go down. Just so you know, I'm starting. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
Hi, I'm Ian Boothby.
And welcome.
Thanks for listening, by the way. Dave would never say this to you, but I just want to say I appreciate you listening to the show. Anyway, back to Dave.
I just want to say thanks for listening. Apparently, I would never say that, but I, you know.
Dave, you weren't even listening to what I just said.
I will take a
dip. You weren't even listening to what I just said.
I wasn't paying attention, it's true.
That's fair enough. Okay. Anyway, you're hosting this episode, so go for it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick, and I already said that, but that's okay. I just feel like I should start with that and get the ball rolling.
By the way, if you got any complaints about the show, sneakydragon.com is our website.
Yes.
That's where our message boards are, so if you want to complain about the show and live complain while you're listening to the show and complain about things that we say, just go there. SneakyDragon.com, and or you can go to our Facebook page, Sneaky Dragon on Facebook.
That's right. Look for the grape box.
Or people love doing that live tweeting thing. Mm-hmm. So we're at Sneaky_Dragon. Just make sure you put that in your live tweets while you're listening to the show.
That's right.
Like at this point, will they let this nonsense go? You could like tweet
that's
that.
That's right. Why don't they edit the show more?
Exactly. That's
then hashtag shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
That's shut up. One more.
There you are. Yeah.
I think that's the actual hashtag.
And now back to you, David.
No, it's okay. I feel like I've carried the show long enough. I think it's time to pass the reins over to the collective consciousness of Sneaky Dragon.
So you were carrying something, but also you were using reins while you were carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is on your back, but you are also reining it in while it's on your back.
Right. It's a complicated weather analogy.
Oh, speaking of which, it just started to rain today after infinity sunny days in Vancouver.
And people were like so happy about all the sun. And you're like, you guys realize that like this is like...
Everything's dying.
Verging on ecological disaster.
Yeah, we are one like thrown away match for this whole thing is going up.
Yeah.
Like we can't handle this much dry in Vancouver. Like we do love the sun. Like the second there's a smallest amount of sun... Everyone's out.
Yeah.
They're on the beach too soon, very too soon, shivering in their bathing suits, so cold. They're down on the wreck beach in the nude. Everything is not where it should be because it's too cold the body bits to be there.
Everyone keeps saying to each other, sure is cold out. All the guys keep saying that anyway.
Yeah. And you can't even do the thing where you're
that's what I do.
Yeah. You can't even do the thing where like, I'm just going to go into the water to cover up and not feel bad because it's too cold to go in the water.
Sure.
So you got to just, all you can do is basically just buy drugs on the beach.
That's all you can do. That's why they call it Wreck Beach.
I remember like the first time I went to Wreck Beach.
You went there?
Oh, yeah, I've gone a couple of times. The first time I ever went there.
Were you nude?
Yes. What surprised me was haircuts.
Why?
Because you don't expect, like, okay, anytime
you... Do you mean like down there haircuts?
No, of course not.
Okay.
No. That's ridiculous.
You said ridiculous.
Well, of course not.
You said, you went to a nude beach.
Yeah, there's a sign saying haircuts next to it, down there haircuts. And there's like little person going snip, 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 snip. That's not what happens.
Okay.
No, but the nice thing.
Okay, but this is the thing. Let me just take a step back. Here's what you said.
Yeah.
When I go to a nude beach, this is what you're going to. I'm going to
the first time I went to a nude beach.
The first thing I noticed when I'm there.
No, the first thing I found strange was
haircuts.
That's what I said. Yes, that was what I found strange was.
I just want to. I'm gonna truncate silences so this silence will not last long enough.
Okay.
For me to convey my confusion over the fact that I am the dummy because I heard you say haircuts was the most. What do you call it? The weirdest thing?
Yeah. You go to a nude beach, you don't expect... Okay,
people to have haircuts.
Have you ever seen... No.
All
they are giving haircuts.
They all look like Cousin It.
They are giving haircuts. There is a haircut person. There's a person there with barber scissors.
Yeah.
Who is like... And so a gentleman is sitting on a log.
Yeah.
Getting a haircut.
Sure.
Calm as you please. And the one nice thing though afterwards was, and my friend said this to me, it was just like, but the great part is when you're done, you don't have that thing where like you're covered in hair.
You go down your shirt and it's all itchy around.
That's
your
right. You just go for a swim and then you come out and like you've got like you got a nice haircut. But you don't expect that you're gonna like get a haircut
when
you go to the nude beach.
No one expects that.
No, because like then what's this? There's a pile of hair. You can't sweep the sand. That's weird.
I think it just kinda goes away.
I'm sure it does.
I don't think hair is like cockroaches. I don't think it survives nuclear
and then,
holocaust.
Then a hover barge came on to the beach.
Of course. All guys got out to get haircuts.
No, they did not. It was some sort of drug-related thing. But a big hover. Like, you see the boat coming, right? You see it coming? Closer? Closer? Yeah. Well, it's got to stop now. No, it doesn't. It was like the thing for... It was exactly the same thing as in Rumble in the Bronx.
Okay.
Where the Jackie Chan drives and then it runs over the villain at the end. Sorry for spoilers to Rumble in the Bronx. Also spoilers. The Bronx has mountains that look a lot like Vancouver's mountains.
That's true.
Yeah. But that was a surprise. They just drove on the beach. Weird.
Yeah.
But then there was a lot of drugs on the beach.
And you were naked.
Yes. It was a nude beach. That's where you go naked.
Okay. Everything you said
does
not... Somehow, to me, does not beat the fact that you're naked.
Let me explain the reason why. Because a couple of girls asked me.
Yeah?
The end
of that story. I get that.
You go to the gym every day with the fellas, and you're all nudie-pootie there, and then, you know, with a... so there you go.
But that's like a natural situation. You're having a shower. You're not just taking a your clothes off and walking around.
A natural situation is to go to a room with a group of men.
Group of men,
get
discussing
naked.
Their financial situations
with
each other.
Have that one guy who you talked about who does not ever exercise, but just stays in the...
He never...
There you go.
No, I thought I saw him the other day. I was at the gym.
Uh-huh.
I've been going in the morning quite often, but this time I was there in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I saw him actually exercising. I was like, holy cow, he's actually not in there. That wasn't him, though. I realized it almost right away because the guy was doing really strenuous exercises.
Right.
This guy does, at the most, he does really like a long, drawn-out stretching exercise kind of situation. Like a series of different stretches where, you know, you've got like his hands behind his head.
Yeah.
And he's like pulling... It's like doing that for
dynamic
like
pressure.
5 minutes. Yeah, yeah.
He's doing the Charles Atlas.
Sure. That's all he does. And then he goes upstairs and has a steam bath. Feels like I've done my bit. But here's a question for you. Let me just quickly tangent away from nudity.
Okay.
To a different kind of nudity.
Well, emotional nudity.
By that I mean acceptable nudity in that it's in a change room. Do you think it's okay?
Sure.
If you're in a public change room.
Okay.
Thanks.
To take a dump on the floor.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, you got.
You just said you're okay with
There's
that.
There's professionals there.
I can't
They'll
believe
clean it.
It
up.
I can't
it's
believe
It's not the
you.
Worst thing they've ever seen.
Well, come on.
All right.
No,
please. No, you can't do that on there.
I wasn't asking that question. Okay. Don't answer questions that you ask.
All right.
Answer my question.
My answer is no.
Is it okay? Okay, that's fine then.
No, go ahead, please.
No, you answered it, because I feel the same way as you.
What was your question?
Is it okay for someone to clip their nails, their toenails?
No, not at all.
In a change room?
No.
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 That's what I thought.
What's wrong with you?
That's what I thought, because I thought of doing it one time.
Did you?
I was like, I'm going to do that, and I thought to myself, no, that's gross.
Okay, here's the other thing.
Yuck.
Let me say.
Who wants to see that?
Yeah, you might as Nobody. Well. Speaking of haircuts.
He was, they're all going onto his towel, I'll give him that.
Well, no, they're not, because you can't control everything.
No, that's true.
Imagine you went in and went like, I'm going to give myself a haircut in the middle of there, and you just start cutting your hair, just with a pair
and
of scissors.
Someone goes by and says, hey, this isn't Wreck Beach.
That's right. And, otherwise, I'd ask you for some mushrooms. And then he's just cutting his hair, and it's all falling to the ground.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't be cool either, right?
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Look, it's pick, it's...
Would
it's,
not be cool.
Yeah, what it is, it's playground rules. It's beach rules.
Yeah.
It's like, what was there when you showed up? Nothing. Yeah. Well, that's what should be there when you leave.
Yeah.
So you should not leave body parts, any bits of you there. Get rid of it.
Do nails, like your cut-off nails, do they count as body parts?
Do you have fingernails?
Yep.
Yeah, that's on your body. That's a body part.
Yeah, but when you cut it off, it's not really a body part.
Yes, it is. Of course it was. It was part of you. Mm. It was your hair part of you?
Sure.
Okay. What if you cut your arm off and leave it there?
Well, that's different. That's a body part.
Okay.
I don't think anyone who thinks parts being left around ever thinks of a fingernail
cutting.
Listen,
there's nothing you can do about flakes of skin. That's going to happen. Occasionally some dandruff will fall. That's fair. Maybe an eyelash. Understood.
Yep.
Anything else that comes out of your body or grows on your body, take it with you when you leave the room. We don't need that business there. How about this? Anything that they could nail you with in a murder case as a DNA sample, take that with you.
Okay.
Don't leave a bunch of your blood on the floor.
Don't leave your blood.
Yeah, that's right. Don't leave some spit there.
Nope.
No, done.
You
clean
can,
it up.
You can stop.
Take it away.
So, okay, here's the other. I'll take one more thing about the change room.
Okay.
Because, as you know.
The new Aaron Sorkin show, The Change Room.
Yeah.
It's just walking and talking
walking
with
and
two
talking
nude guys.
Two nude guys walking into a steam room. Here's the thing.
I'll tell you about Pilates.
I've told, I keep a pretty strict neutral standing in the change room. I do not talk.
Yeah, you change sometimes with the guys, sometimes with the ladies.
I am
very neutral.
Equal opportunity. And in both cases, I always comment how cold it is. But I made a mistake a little while ago.
Okay.
There was a guy.
Change room error.
We were in the locker area.
Right. You were showering. You went, can you spot me?
There was two. Can you spot me? I was hiding behind a pole. Can you spot me?
No, you went, that's not a pole. Continue.
Sure is cold out. There's two guys in the shower.
Understood.
Bellowing at each other at the top of their voices, as they do. They cannot talk at like a conversational level.
Understood. All right.
It has to be as loud as possible.
Right.
They don't realize they're in a giant resonating chamber.
Right.
And everyone else can hear all the details.
Kind of a
their
drunk
financial
level of talking.
It's a very drunk level. Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe they're a little drunk from their exercise.
Yeah, a little high. Yeah.
Yeah, all that whatever that's doing
dopamines.
Stuff. Yeah, that's right. They're dopes. And so they're like yelling away. And so here's what I did. I commented to this guy, the volume. I said, something like, I think you could hear those guys outside. Something like that, right? Just like a little comment. And he laughed. And then, oh my God, we started talking. That's not what I wanted. I shouldn't have said anything. I don't know what I was thinking about. So now.
Friendly guy.
Now.
Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
He's a
British. Can you help me move?
He's a British guy.
Damn it.
He's a British guy. He likes to talk. Now I got to talk to him. I can't shut it off now. I can't like go in there with my headphones on and sit and read my book while I cool down a little bit from the workout before I take a shower. Because then I seem like a jerk. So
How about this? How about you go in tomorrow? Like, will he be there tomorrow?
I don't know.
Okay. Here's what I say you do. Okay. Go in openly weeping. All right. And then when he goes, what's wrong? You go, I can't talk about it.
Okay.
Maybe one day. And then but not today.
From then on, I always weep when I'm there.
Yeah. And then come in, it's just like, are you sure you don't need it? No, maybe one day, but okay. Not today. I just need a moment.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
And you're like, how will I fake this tears?
I'm a little.
Yeah. Just like stick your face in the shower. And then
I guess you do that or pull a nose hair.
Yeah. You really got to make sure you got enough.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
I don't need like. You just need a couple of tears. I don't need to like create like a flood.
I know, but like you do like a couple a day, right?
Yeah.
Well, how many have you?
Have you seen my nose?
No, of course I haven't. I'm a gentleman.
I guess ear hairs don't work as well.
No, they do not.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Because I'm an older gentleman.
That's right. You're not an older gentleman. No, it's fair. Oh, no. I'm so sorry to hear that. That is a tragedy.
Anyway, it was a strategic error that I made.
I'll tell you something that I did that really annoyed some people that I know this week.
Okay.
This was...
I think I know what you're talking about. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'd like to get your opinion as a fella who is a father. So anyway, here's what... did you read the post I was talking about?
I read a little bit of it. I did not read everything.
Understood. Okay. So what happened was...
I did read your initial post.
Okay. So P and I were at a drugstore, and it was a hot summer day.
Yes.
Okay. So now this could have been a mom, could have been a grandmom. Pia thinks it's grandmom. I thought it was a mom. But moms get younger every day. Who the heck knows? Or maybe I'll get older.
They sure do.
Yeah. Or maybe I get older and...
I know. I realized that the other day. I saw some girl walking down the street with her pushing a stroller, and I thought, why, that young, poor teenage mom? And then I realized, oh my God, she's like in her 20s. I am old.
Yeah, could very well be.
I am old.
So anyway, there's a kid...
Where are my trousers rolled?
Kid's about nine, maybe eight or nine. And so he's talking a mile a minute. And
As they will.
And then he starts in with a story about, like, she mentioned something about picking up a Sprite. And he goes, hey, remember that time that we did, that where we pretended we were drinking Sprite, but it was water? Remember that time we switched out the water and the Sprite? Remember that? And then she looks at him and says, do you ever stop talking? And that made him stop talking. And then she went shopping for other things or whatever, and he kind of wandered and did the things you do as a kid, and then you know, kind of got his wind back later on, and was talking about like, look, and he was like standing next to chocolate bars, and he said this, which actually cracked me up: "I'm the king of chocolate." And she went, "Yeah, you sure are." Anyway, but okay, so wow. With the line about do you ever stop talking? So I did just a little tweet, Facebook thing, when I went like, you know, I saw this mom today who said, you know, to her kid, do you ever stop talking? You know, I wanted to adopt the kid on the spot. And so I wrote that.
So you edited it, because earlier you said she should be sent to a concentration camp. Right?
No, that was Fascist book.
Oh, sorry. Fascist
book. Yeah. So that's what I said. I said, I want to adopt the kid on the spot. And I had said that to my wife, you know, there, and she felt similarly about that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was just kind of an offhanded comment, and I got like a bunch of likes on there. And then I got a couple of things there from parents who got really mad at that. And like, you don't know if she wasn't having a bad day, you know, we all do this, you know, and, you know, it makes it hard as a mom when, you know, I know I'm being judged by people like you and that kind of thing. And then, you know, there was all, I think, into a weird area where someone that I know, you know, suggested that, you know, maybe, you know, you should join Big Brothers, you know, and I mean this seriously, you know, it would be a good thing for you to basically the implication being that, you know, then you'd see what it's like, you know. And my response to that was, well, I've got a nephew who's around that age and I've got a niece and I'd rather spend time with them. And that would feel weird to do that. And, you know, and Pia commented on as well. And we both kind of tried to head off at the pass. The thing we knew which was coming was, you know, you don't have kids, you don't understand. Because we get that a lot.
Sure.
So
then you say, I was a kid, so I understand how it feels from both sides.
Now, I'm going to be a mean guy with something I can't say. It's just like, you know, listen, buddy, you know, you may have been abused, but if you haven't been an abuser, you don't know. So you watch yourself, you know, if you weren't a dad that smacked a kid around. Okay. So anyway, a dad, was I out of line with that? And I do respect your opinion on that. And if you disagree with me, it's totally fine.
I feel, here's the thing. I feel like as a parent, you make mistakes, you know, it's unavoidable as a parent that you're going to screw up in some way. You're going to punish when you shouldn't, you didn't punish when you should. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. You know, it's so easy to make mistakes with your kids because you're just a human being. And yes, tiredness, heat, you know, all kinds of things can play into things that you do that you will regret your whole life. You'll always think of those things and think, why did I react that way at that moment? That was so dumb of me. So yeah, it is hard to be judged by one act.
Right.
Because you don't know what she's like with this boy the rest.
Absolutely. Rest I don't of know what the rest time. Of the time, yeah.
However, at the same time, that's a terrible thing to say to someone, to anyone. Like, when you hear something like that, you shouldn't be thinking, well, how could a mom talk to her child like that? You should be thinking, how can anyone, anywhere, talk to any other person like that? Like, would you want someone to say that to you if you're talking? Would you want to be talking to someone and then have them turn to you and dryly say, don't you ever stop talking?
One of the examples I used on it was, because it was said with sarcasm. Yeah. It was done in that funny mom voice of just like, almost like, it felt like a sitcom character and the kind of thing you'd say, right? But what I said was, if you had an elderly relative there and the person who was with them said to the elderly relative, do you ever stop talking?
Yeah.
That would seem awful. If a person was, you know, in kind of a romantic situation and the guy said to the girlfriend, do you ever stop talking? That would seem really bad.
Yeah.
And the mom / grandma saying this seems to be the same thing to me.
Yeah.
And yet what I got from the people, and maybe I'm misinterpreting what they said, but what I got from them was, you know, wasn't that this was a slip up. This isn't a mistake that you're going to then apologize for later.
Yeah.
This is just the kind of thing, because you've got, you reach your limit with your kid.
Yeah.
And then you've got to shut them up. And so one of the people who's a friend of mine was going, you know, I've told my daughter in public to shut up because she wouldn't stop going on about, I think it was like breakfast cereal, wanting to get this breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
So I've had to tell her to shut up. And now, the other thing in that was that the relationship that they have, that does not hurt the kid because they know this is just something mom/dad says, but it's okay because there's enough love around that they know. And yet I have a hard time, again, and I'm an outsider on this, I hate people being called stupid and I hate shut up. I hate any variation on shut up. And
shut
also
up is not something you should ever say to
using
person.
Sarcasm to a kid, I guess you can, but mean sarcasm really feels like that feels like the kind of thing that if you're ever in relationship counseling, the counselor would go, you can't do that. Contempt. Mm-hmm. That's when a counselor says that your relationship with your other is in trouble, is when contempt, you know, when it's the eye rolling, when it's, I got to deal
that's
with
right.
this.
When it becomes, when it becomes impatience with a person that you can't be bothered to. That's the thing they talk about in relationships. Yeah. If you can't, and there's a word for it. It's something about accepting a bid or something like that. There's a word for it that they use where, you know, if say if someone said, oh, look at that bird outside the window, and then the wife or husband went, uh-huh, and didn't get up to look or didn't,
yeah,
you know, that's a rejection of that person. That's a disinterest in them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
a dismissal.
That's a sign of the end of the relationship. In to defend this mom whom I've never met or don't know or wasn't in the situation, it does sound like the boy had a relationship with her that was more than just, wasn't that cold, that he would talk that much to her, that he felt free enough
right.
to yak away.
He's trying to tell a joke, basically, to her. He's trying to tell her a funny story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but I got a flip side on that, because so often what I'll hear from comedians, right?
Yeah.
And I was listening to a podcast about this today as well. I listened to the Pete Holmes podcast. He was talking about...
I like that show.
Yeah, he was talking about
how...
You
Make It Weird.
Right. When he was a kid and his parents
The show was also called You Make It Weird.
That's true. That is true. When his parents were going through a divorce,
mm-hmm.
And there was the bad times where the parents were arguing, he would stick his face in mashed potatoes to make mom laugh and break the tension, sure. right? Because if you make mom laugh... Things are okay and things are fine, even though they're not okay.
Yeah.
But you become the jokey kid. And I know a lot of comedians that are like that. Things were shitty at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so you became the jokey kid, because if you tell a joke, everything's, you can lift it up.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it, because there you go. And maybe that was me too. So, you know, that could have been also what was going on with him, was just like trying to, yeah, because obviously she's a bit steamed at having to be with him, you know, yeah, while she's buying spray for ants.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I
remember something that surprised me that you said once upon a time, which was, we
was it wise? Is that why it surprised you?
No, but it was actually wise. It changed my mind about something. Because it was the time that the Alec Baldwin call to his daughter came out.
Yeah.
And in it, he was berating her and saying, you know, you didn't do something and you're a little piggy and you're a selfish little piggy and this. And when I heard that, because I'm a kid who used to get slapped around, I thought, oh, well, you know, the worst that this dad did to his daughter was, you know, a couple of verbal, you know, calling a little piggy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's some days that I wish it was that.
Mm-hmm.
And you went, no, that sounds terrible. It's like, so you'd never make that mistake. No, I would never. Oh my God. No, that's the worst. That horrifies me. You said that, that he did that.
Yeah.
And that took me back. And it made me remember that when I was a kid, like basically my dad apologized to me twice, for his behavior. And mm-hmm. both times I think it was him calling me stupid.
Yeah.
And it wasn't any of the times he hit me. Mm-hmm. It was the times he called me stupid. And then he went, no, that wasn't appropriate. And I'm sorry for it. And it was very. He felt really bad about doing that.
It's interesting because he grew up in an age when physical abuse or hitting wasn't considered physical abuse. It was just considered to be a punishment. You were punishing someone for being bad.
There was two things. There was spanking. There was like, come here. Yeah. All right. Whack.
Yeah.
There was that. And then there was, you know, just random whack.
Yeah.
You know, where you don't know what's coming and it's not necessarily for anything. It's because dad's in a bad mood.
Okay.
There's that.
But he's rationalizing it, obviously, right? He's got his own reasons why you're getting that.
I think he's so frustrated. Okay. I can't justify
you can't
why.
I'm not justifying it.
No.
But I'm just explaining to you why I think to him it was much worse to belittle you than to hit you.
Right.
Because in his mind, it's okay to hit kids because kids need to be punished.
I would say this. I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
Because there was a weird thing like later on in life where my mom said recently that both him and her decided that corporal punishment wasn't appropriate, so they weren't going to do it.
Yeah.
And that made me go, oh shit, they really didn't, when I was a kid, officially do, except when we were really young, do spankings.
Yeah.
My dad would just get slappy when he was upset. So I don't think he could apologize for it, because I don't think he could admit that it happened.
Okay.
Like after it happened, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But he could apologize for the verbal thing. So that was okay. Like he couldn't go to the thing. Like the only apology I ever got for him for the physical stuff was, you know, just sort of before he died, where he went like, I was really rough on you kids, probably too rough. He said that.
Yeah.
And I went, okay, I'll take that.
Sure.
Whatever you're going to do.
That's what you're going to get.
Yeah. I'm in hospice with
stoic.
You. I'm going to deal with this right now.
That stoic Canadian apology.
We should be better at apologizing.
You said, Dad, that was pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. How was I as a dad? Not bad.
Anyway, here's some Timbits, and I'll see you in a bit. Yeah. Good luck to you.
You know, I'd be more curious, to be honest. I mean, I think that all of us paint ourselves in a rosy glow, you know. So I would be more curious to talk to Millis or Phyllis about how they feel about my treatment of them as children and stuff. I wasn't a hitty parent or anything like that. I'm sure I said mean things to them though.
Now you're a which is a weird thing. They legitimately find you funny. Like I've seen them. That's a weird thing for a dad, right?
You think so?
Yeah, your standard is dad joke. Dad. Like that's pretty.
I get that too.
Industry standard. No, I understand that.
Yeah.
But I have legitimately.
But I been seek with that. You. I seek those moments of like the painful joke that I can bother
absolutely.
My daughter.
Maybe
with.
That's the abuse. but no, I've seen them. You make a joke and they connect with your sense of humor and they laugh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's rare. You know, I've got other friends who are like that with their kids, you know, and they legitimately find their parents funny.
Yeah.
And that's pretty great. But like, I don't think
because
you,
we're a close family too, though.
Right.
We're very,
but
we don't,
I don't
do
think
things
you
apart from each other.
Sarcasm, like the sarcasm there was being used in a real.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
Smack.
I don't like you that. Know, that's why I don't like TV shows that use it. I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like Hannah Montana and stuff like that.
That's what I was going to say. The Disney shows are all parents being mean to kids being mean
like
to
that.
Each other. Everyone's picking on everyone else. Everyone's zinging each other.
Don't like
and
that.
I know that's not your style either.
It's not a real family. You know, that kind of hostility is not, that's not a family. That's, I don't know what that is. That's four strangers living together at, you know, at gunpoint. Because there's no love there at all. Like, that's no way.
Well, I don't think you've seen the last 5 minutes of those episodes. There is definitely a, oh, and then there's a hug.
Yeah,
but and then the witches all get together and they all hug each other or the kung fu kids.
You don't
kids.
See the guns being held to them off screen. That's the thing. It doesn't, you know, I mean, that Witch is a Waverly Place. I know the one you're talking about. That one's actually.
I was just throwing that out.
I know.
There.
That's one of the mildest ones.
Yeah,
the other ones are much more mean spirited. And I mean, there's TV shows that aren't the Family Channel ones, you know, like that Two Broke Girls show and stuff like that, where it's just a constant barrage of belittling and meanness.
So that show feels like, and I'm not a fan of that show, but that show feels like consenting adults. We're all going to be like this.
No,
so we're all.
No one deserves to be insulted. So you can't. There's no consenting adult to insult. I mean, if you're consenting to abuse, then what?
It's weird.
What does that say about
it's
you?
It's weird because I used to be a fan of. I really liked the Tony Randall, Jack Klugman Odd Couple.
Okay.
In fact, I liked the African American Odd Couple, and no one remembers that damn thing. I liked the cartoon version of it with the oddball couple, and I think I saw a female version I liked too. Now there's a new version, and it's got a guy on it that I like, and I've met a couple of times, Tom Lennon. He's a real swell fella, and I'm like, oh, I want this to be good. Mm-hmm. And I watched the show, and the whole thing is Matthew Perry, the guy who's on Friends?
Yeah, I believe so,
yeah. Yeah, he's the Oscar guy on it, and all he does is insult Felix.
Yeah.
Constantly, and you just want at some point Felix to just go, hey, knock the fuck off. I clean this place.
Yeah.
I don't need this shit.
Yeah.
Huh? That's you want me. You want to wake up in the morning? Because I could just kill you in your sleep, huh, motherfucker? And I could clean up the evidence. So why don't you shut your fucking mouth right now and stop insulting me there for the first
maybe
15 minutes of the show?
Maybe he's
how's that
cons-
sound?
Maybe he's a consenting adult.
Maybe he is. I know, that's the thing. The only thing that would make this work is if it was a 50 Shades of Grey relationship and you realize like, oh, actually, the one who's in charge is the sub.
Yeah.
Because that's how it works with that. Like, that's how it works. And so at a later point, like Oscar like drops his guard and go, was that good? And it's like, yeah, that'll do. And he feeds him a little treat. Gives Oscar a treat and then sends him away.
Yeah, I mean, when you say about that, when you say
so
it, it's
mean.
A consenting relationship where one person belittles another, it doesn't, to me, that feels like abuse, you know. Like,
yeah.
Matter. And I mean, I don't want to judge that mom in that moment. Like I said, I've had bad moments as a parent. Most of my bad moments are on what would you call it?
This podcast, just
objects.
When you name your daughter's
like,
actual names,
I would get mad. I remember one time I got mad and I broke a napkin holder on the table. I threw it into the corner of the room and broke it. And then a couple of days later, I'm like, "Where's the napkin holder?" Because the girl's like, "Dad, you broke it the other day." I'm like, "Oh shoot!" And I've done that, or I've slammed the top tray of a dishwasher.
Yeah.
And of course, broke glasses, you know, like a dummy. Of course, you feel like a dummy, but you're mad about something and that's, you know, and it's better. I would rather pick it out on a glass than on my daughter's.
Absolutely.
You know, but they also got things said to them. Like, you know, it's just.
No one's perfect.
And I remember one time, actually, this is interesting. One time I actually got into the habit of teasing Phyllis.
And there we go again.
I gotta edit that.
There we go.
No, no, don't say anything because it's not gonna be in the show.
All right.
Nope. I'm not going to say that.
If it is in the show. Nah. By the way, I like someone recently who did a joke on our message boards yes, that regarding good. That.
Yeah.
That
was it. Thomas Calloway yeah. wrote and said, I said, Merry Christmas. He said, I think you mean Phyllis Christmas. Or Millis Christmas. Sorry, Millis Christmas. And I, well played, sir. Well played. And so I just got into this habit of saying little mean things to her. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't being mean. I wasn't, like, in my mind, I was just like, I'm just teasing her.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking, oh, this is sort of funny. This is these goofy things I'm saying that are so stupid that they can't possibly be right. real. And one day she said to me, you know, I don't like you saying those things to me. They hurt my feelings. And I said, done. Like, just say that to me. I don't, you know, like, because you can get into a bad habit. And once you sink into that habit, it's so hard to change, you know, and you don't realize what you're saying is hurtful.
And you know that the way you're coming at it is, you know, it's almost like the kid who just wants a little bit of attention from somebody.
Yeah.
And so you do this little thing and you get a reaction. Yeah. It's like, good. I got a reaction there. Yeah. That's nice. I got some attention. Good. All right. Bye. That's I'll be in the other room. Yeah. I've got my attention. Bye.
That's what it was. Like just a dumb dad thing. And mostly it was done in a sense of irony as well. Like I wasn't serious or anything like that. And I assume an understanding of that I'm being ironic. But Phyllis wasn't taking it that way. It was upsetting her. So, but I'm glad that we have a relationship that she can feel like she can talk to me about it and not just sit on it because she knows I won't listen, let's say.
Now, here's the thing. Like, I think the other way of going on that would have been you going and getting defensive and just going, look, I didn't mean anything by it.
No.
And like you taking it as like an attack on you mm-hmm. and just like, well, I guess I can't say anything.
That's right.
I guess dad can't joke around.
I stormed out of the room and broke a napkin holder.
That's right. And I think that was sort of what I felt with the, and again, everyone brings their own food to the table and like, you know, whatever, they bring their own whatever.
Yeah.
But like what I thought was, I really felt for this kid. That's mm-hmm. The way I was taking it.
I understand.
It. Less than.
I feel for that kid.
You know, to hell with that mom. Mm-hmm. Like less that. Yeah. Like it was like, I really feel for this kid.
It was a moment where you empathize with the kid and you had that moment of, I can save this kid from this.
Well, there was a bit of something I wanted to, I mean, the other thing I wanted to say about that, but I didn't, which was like, you know, I heard that and I went like, I wanted to say to the mom, hey, this is where stand-up comics and serial killers come from. Mm-hmm. Anyway, bye. Just want to say that. Yeah. So I wasn't feeling like I was attacking her. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just like feeling empathy for the kid.
Yeah.
And then it became, but people who felt put upon for being judged, you know, as parents and like, here's the thing. I would never, if I saw a parent, like if I see a parent in a restaurant and the kid's kind of running around and there's craziness at a table and just like, I don't go, ugh, boy, someone brought kids here. Great. No, I think like, oh, okay. Well, you try bringing the kids here and you know, I'm not going to be like, be better parent. I'm not that at all, at all. But, you know, something mean said to a kid gets.
I am that person.
All right.
Well, yeah, I think because people should control their kids at restaurants.
Yeah. Well,
my daughter's behaved.
You know how you would control your kids at a restaurant. I do not necessarily. You know, one of my proudest moments is being at a restaurant with my nephew and it was weird because a couple came up from a table, an older couple, and just went, you were so good with him. Through that whole thing.
That's nice.
You know, it was really, really nice. Yeah. And then they said the very weird thing, which was, are you his dad? And I'm sitting next to his dad. Mm. And his dad is my brother-in-law and looks exactly like him.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not the same race as my nephew. They are and look exactly alike. So it's like, are you okay? I appreciate the compliment, but the second part, are you fucking me? No, of course I'm not, but still, thank you. And off we go. There we are. Yeah.
Well,
right here. His clone is right here. No, he's a time traveler and I'm dealing with like his past and future selves. And I thought I'd take them both out to lunch. Anyway, either way, thanks for the compliment.
Well, I remember taking Millis to the record store I used to work at, and my boss was there, or one of my bosses was there. And Millis was being her usual good self. And she said, she goes, oh, you're so lucky that your daughter's so well behaved. And she said, what am I saying? You made her that way. You should be proud of yourself, how well-behaved your daughter is. I thought, oh, thank you. It's true in a way.
Yeah.
You know, you get what you get. Like,
Though something, you know, that does happen is you can have two daughters. Let's say you do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both well-behaved.
Yeah.
But they're very different people. So how if you say you had one other kid, and that kid could be a wild card.
Yeah.
And just be a whoo, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
And you're like, I raised the same way, mm-hmm. but That's...
And I had daughters, which, you know, genetically are more easier to control. Or easier to... They're easier to socialize because they have an extra gene that lets them socialize.
Yeah.
Boys do not have that gene.
That is something I find when I'm, you know, with my niece and nephew, and like I've seen both of them grow up. And then at one point, man, one becomes a girl and man, one becomes a boy.
Yeah.
And I'm very curious about it. Just like, is this a nature or nurture or what's this?
Interesting, isn't it?
It is very interesting. And I know there was a bit of a push towards with my niece, like, get her into more pink things. She's being a little bit too boyish. Let's push her towards that. And I think she took that to heart. And now it's all, you know, girly.
It's not even that.
The girly Legos and the boy Legos. And for him, it's, you know, been the hockey and the whatever.
Yeah.
But, and it's cool and it's fine. And whatever they are is whatever they are. And I love them. But like, it was just interesting. Just like, oh, now you're really that. Though when they're with me, it is very different, and they do change kind of moods, and they do change behaviors, and I noticed like when they're with me, they've said this too. The parents have said this too. It's just like, and I think to their frustration, like when they're not like this around us, you know, and they're frustrated because they're like, no, be like you are normal to show him. Don't do this. Don't be all calm and snuggly with him. Don't be all showing him the thing calmly and slowly building this thing precisely. Be angry like you normally are. And that's like, no, well, since I've always known them, I've always tried to be kind of calm, listen to what they say. You know, I do a lot of like hand on the shoulder, hand on the back, contact kind of thing when we're doing stuff. I'm here, just letting you know I'm here. Even if we're quietly doing stuff together, I'm letting you know I'm here. I'm constantly here. Here we go. I'm interested in what you're doing. I'm interested in what you're doing. Here we go. And it was kind of like that when I went. And again, it's tough because, you know, the uncle has the fucking easy job, right? Mm. It's just like, you come in. Oh, you came on a birthday. That's pretty hard. You know, you came with a present. Blah, blah. You know, you didn't see the shitty times over here. Yeah. And that's 100% fair.
Yeah.
But I'm
you
trying
didn't have to toilet train.
I didn't have to toilet train. I did have to take him to the bathroom a couple of times when he was young.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of be the protecty guy and do little things. And it was a little odd, but yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. No.
I know.
Spent many a minute hanging around a bathroom waiting for daughters to come out. Because you can't just go by themselves. You got to wait for them to come out of the bathroom so you can walk back to the table with them.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. It's.
And you do a lot of pounding on the door. Hurry up! Dad's hungry.
I don't want to boast, but my daughters are perfect.
They pretty much are.
Yeah.
They're pretty great. You did a really good job with that. Well done.
Thank you.
Yay!
And it's also nature, though. I mean, part of nurture, but I was amazed when they were young how much their personality came out and how young they were when they their personality started to develop and how little control you had of that aspect of them.
Right.
You know, like, you just have nothing to do with it.
Well, there's a small thing, like, too. Like
you could nurture all day.
But I think
you're not going to get an architect or whatever you're dreaming of.
For one example, is like, I think you guys watch TV a very different way than me and my parents did, which was, to me, when I was watching a show, it was annoying to my dad because he couldn't watch his show.
Okay.
And he wanted to watch his sports. And when he watched his sports, he wanted to watch it alone. And occasionally he'd be swearing at and he'd be mad at the sports.
Yeah.
And so you didn't want to be around that. But, you know,
my dad was the same with sports. He didn't mind us watching with him, but it was very tense.
Yeah, it was very rare that there'd be a show that you would all watch together or something. Yeah. Whereas it feels like TV time at your place is gather around, we're all watching this thing. We're going to watch it together and we're going to enjoy it together. And yeah, it's just like kind of bonding over it. And similar things with like, you know, you reading them books, like reading them the Tintin books or something like that.
Oh, they got both of them. I mean, I read Trixie Belden books to them when they were growing up. You know, just whatever they were, you know, to me that was really important was reading before they went to bed. Partly because I'm a real believer
Parents did read to me a lot. Like I read when I was like four. I was being read to constantly. So
me too. And I learned to read myself so I could read more. Like before I was even in kindergarten, I learned to read so that I want to read more books. So I got to figure this out. They don't understand that in school, though. When you get to school, they're just like, okay, let's start all over again. I'm going to teach you guys to read. We're going to start with the word "ah" and don't read ahead. Don't read. Come on. This is dull.
Yeah.
But yes.
My angle was, which I found, was I could make more friends because they had books that they couldn't read.
Mm.
But I could read them the books and they didn't have to bother their parents. And I could tell them what happened in Dr. Dolittle. You know, let me tell you. I'll fill it in. Here, then a storm broke and then this. And it was like, oh, this guy can read us stories too, even though he's our age. Pretty good.
I never figured that out.
Yeah, it's a good way to make friends.
I just showed off.
And I also bring a book over and go like, I could read you this. Oh, yeah. All right. Let's do it.
Huh. I was too rambunctious. It's just I don't know. To go back right back to the very beginning of this, which is, or to talk about, and I think you kind of wanted to forgive Alec Baldwin. That's right. He was the one who, I think you were kind of a fan of him, so you wanted to kind of give him a slide.
I guess what I felt with that was that he was upset and didn't call his daughter a bitch.
Yeah.
Didn't call her anything. Like, he called her such a weird little name. Like, calling someone a piggy, it feels like if you're going to insult a kid, that's a kid name to insult a kid. You know, it feels like, hey, your room's a real mess. Hey, don't be a piggy. Come on, clean up this messy little piggy. And that's what it felt like to me. But after hearing from you, I went, no, I'm wrong. You shouldn't have done that. That was completely in the wrong to do. No.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. It's possible I did it with my daughters, you know, and if I did, I'm sorry for that. But, you know, you do dumb things as a parent. I mean, that lady may have gone home and not necessarily apologized, but felt bad about that and made up in some way. You know, may have just been a bad day. You don't know. You don't know all the story behind what's happening.
Though here's the thing:
you can still condemn it, though. You can still say it's wrong.
But if you here's where my parallel was on that was, if you were on a bus and there was a guy and a girl and one said to the other, it doesn't matter if it was the girl, the guy, or it's two girls or it's two guys, whatever it is, and one of them says to the other one, the one's telling him a story of just like, so anyway, I said to her blah 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 blah. And I was like, do you ever stop talking? And then they just sat in silence. Do you think, like, you know what? Maybe when they get home, they really got it together. Maybe this was good. Maybe this was just a one-off incident. And when they get home, it's all right. No. You know.
Yeah.
No. This ain't no good. If it was an elderly relative and a younger person and they said that to the elderly relative, you wouldn't think, you know what? I bet they got it going on. But you think of it but you want to cut the slack with the parents, which is right, which is fine.
I want to cut the slack with the parents.
But why is it different than the other situation?
I think
is it because adults?
The dynamics are different, I think. And I think because the stressors are different for a parent than like what you feel from your mom or if it's a, let's say that this elderly person isn't even a relative, like your relationship is totally different.
Okay.
And there's, you know, in a way it's inexcusable because, you know, there's no reason for it at all, like any reason. Whereas with a kid, you can understand why parents, after a while, your patience wears down to the point where, you know, finally you just snap and you say something terrible.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully you apologize for it or you make up for what you've done. You don't do it again. You change how you approach that. But it happened, you know, and so you got to deal with
it. If you think it's wrong what you did.
Yeah. And, you know, I just think with parents, the stressors are so much different. I mean, you live in each other's pocket. You live with your kids.
Absolutely.
All the time. It's
absolutely
24 hours, right, of your kids. I mean, you know, you can reach a point as a parent where you're just like, oh, man, I'm just waiting for 8:30. Then the kids are in bed, and I can finally sit down and watch some shows and just cool out. You know, I'm at the end of the day with the kids, right? And that's a fair feeling. You know, no one wants to spend all that time together.
That's feeling versus action. My question, I guess, to you, here's the one question, because basically, when I hear, do you ever?
By the time we finish this show, it's until totally Tintin, and we were sick of each other. Basically, I just storm out of here, and you tell me to f off, and that's the end of it.
You throw a match behind you. I have to stomp it out before it sets the place on fire. Okay, here's the thing. Like when I hear, "Do you ever stop talking?" What I'm hearing is, "Shut up."
Yeah. Oh no, shut up's the worst thing to say to someone.
Well, this is what I'm asking. Is like, but what I got from
that's why I think it's terrible.
That's what when I heard the responses, it was say shut up to my daughters, say shut up to my son. So you're saying that's wrong?
Oh, for sure, terrible. Oh,
well, that's okay. Then asked and answered. The end.
Yeah. No. Okay. I thought I said that. Yeah. No, I would. I don't think. And once again, my memory, you know, my rose-colored glasses of looking back at my perfect parenthood, you know, and my daughter has turned out so well because of me, solely me.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if she called right now and you just told her to shut up and hung up the phone?
But I don't.
No, of course you wouldn't. No.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, I love to hear my daughters talk. I love to hear their stories. I think they're both great. I think I love their sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I love to talk to them. Man, I was making Millis laugh the other day. And what was I making her laugh about? I wish I could remember now. We were talking about something and I was making her crack up.
It'd be nice to have something to lighten the mood here.
Yeah, it would be nice. And it was fun because, you know, it's fun to hear your daughter laugh. Mm-hmm. You know what? And you're just kind of goofily riffing on something on the phone and having some fun. And she's someone that I love to talk to for that reason, too, because she's really open to back and forth and fun that way. And so is Phyllis as well, actually, or Eve, Mary and Eve. let's just give it away.
What? What's happened?
Have we? I, know, I just feel like it feels weird.
Has the curtain dropped?
It feels weird talking.
Is she out of school now, and so everything's changed?
Yeah, yeah.
What? Is it all?
It just feels weird talking about them in an affectionate way and not using their real names.
So okay.
It feels weird as a parent.
So fair enough.
I'm having some trouble with it, so I'm gonna drop all pretense of being a spy.
Sure.
I'm no longer a spy, everybody.
In the house of love.
I'm a spy in the house of love, but it's hard to you can't. You don't know what the hell you're doing. So really, when you look back on it, it's you're lucky,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you feel like, well, what did I do? I mean, you know, and I did make a solemn pledge to myself when Mary was born that I would be different than my parents were to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to be a loving parent. I wanted to be there for her. I wanted to be in her life. I wanted her to be in my life. I wanted us to share experiences together. And, you know, so they've done tons of things with us that maybe other kids, you know, didn't do. You know, if we went to a show, if we went to see Sword Play, the girls came with us.
Play I did, yeah.
With the play you did, yeah. Or if we went to see your Fringe show, the Canadian Content Fringe show, where we're sitting in the audience and one of the cast members came up and tapped me on the knee and said, oh, excuse me, sir, I just wanted to let you know. And then she saw it was me and she went, oh, it's you. Well, that's fine.
She was going to say, it's not age appropriate.
Yeah, it's not an age appropriate show. And then she realized, oh, it's just this bad parent with their poor children.
You were showing them Buffy when they were like wee ones. Yeah.
It's not that, yeah, I mean, Buffy kind of happened because I wasn't intending for them to watch Buffy, but it just worked out that I'm like, okay, I got to watch this show now, and they're here, so we'll see what happens.
This is where we kind of split, I think, was you made a vow kind of to yourself to not be like your parents.
Yeah.
I made the same vow.
Yeah.
And I've carried that into my relationships.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons, you know, it's again, when people go, you haven't got kids, you wouldn't understand, mm-hmm. a la my stepdad to me recently.
Yeah.
You know, the reasons on my wife's side are personal to her.
Yeah.
And I won't get into those because those are hers to reveal, sure. if she wants to. But on my side of things, it's, you know.
It's to do with gremlins.
It's to do with gremlins. And the gremlins are being abused as a kid. So like when I was in my 20s, I still felt I had that dad anger in me.
Yeah.
And I would react to things, how I would react to impulses where I was like so angry was I would beat myself up. Someone stopped abusing me and I would abuse myself. I would punch myself in the face. I would hurt myself in some physical way. And I went, oh shit, I've got this in me. I can't have a kid because I've still got this in me and that's mm-hmm. not safe to be around a kid. I don't know if I would transfer this to a kid instead of myself. And as I, over the years, I've worked through this and with my wife, kind of, I've stopped the self-abuse.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, through therapy and what have you, you know, I'm now like probably too old to have a kid, but you know, and she's still got her own reasons. Yeah. But, you know, when someone says that to me, I don't want to go, yeah, my dad beat me up pretty bad. So I don't think it's safe for me to have a kid because I'm worried I might smack him around.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for asking. you didn't ask. You just threw that at me. So, yeah there you go.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
Well, one thing, that's a bullshit thing to say to anybody, that you can't judge something because you're not it. Like, that's garbage. You know?
Well, I've had it a lot.
So you can't judge neo-Nazis because you're not a neo-Nazi? Is that what it is? You can't judge a bigot because you're not a bigot? You can't judge homophobes because you're not a homophobe? I don't understand. Like, you should look at it from my point of view. I don't like gay people. If you don't like gay people, and then you'll understand why I don't like gay people. Mm-hmm. Like, what? That's, hello?
Well,
what?
Everyone's.
I can't criticize you for a ridiculous prejudice that makes no sense to anybody. Like, that's not an argument. It's the same argument as you can't judge child abuse because you're not a parent. No, you can see it and name it.
I will agree with you. I will agree with you, but I've had that pulled on me so often and it makes me so mad that I've
like you punched yourself in the face.
I would in the past. My wife brought up that I'm not, that, you know, we're not parents, but this is what we think. And then someone wrote, well, why do you have to say that? You don't have to bring that up. No. And that's when I kind of got into, well, because this card has been played so often. I've got a stack of them at home that I've made into a giant house. And,
well,
that's
a real talent.
Yeah. It's the why don't you shut up card? Mm-hmm. That's the one that's played.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what's your vulnerable spot? That is okay. Well, we're going to just put that down.
Yeah. And it's a real conversation stopper. That's all it is. Someone who doesn't want to
think about
it and doesn't want to talk about
there
it.
There are people
just putting in a big
block. That will think that if you don't have kids, they will throw out the pretty selfish. Because you're just living your life for yourself, huh? Well, you know, and I've heard quite often, you know, if you don't have a kid, then, you know, you're not a real, if you don't have a child, you're not a real man. I've heard that whipped out so fucking often. And if you don't have a child, you're not a real woman. You won't understand what it's like to be a woman. And that kind of stuff gets whipped out like more often than you think.
If I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. I will no longer whip it out.
All right. Except in the change room.
In the change room with my friends.
And that's just to get the British guy to leave.
Hello, hello. Yeah, I mean, it's a complicated thing. I mean,
it's
totally
complicated. Like, I understand you understand things that I will never be able to understand. At a certain level, you will understand certain things that I will never be able, like, that you have to experience to understand. And I've done things in my life that I could explain it till the cows come home, and I would still not be able to convey the feeling, the deep feeling of it to you. That is true, and I get that. But yeah, it's basically used as an attack. And anything like that that's used as an attack is a dick move. So boo everyone who does that.
Yes, it's an unfair card. Do you want to switch topics?
I certainly do, Dave.
You know...
By the way, anyone has an opinion on this subject? Keep it to yourself. No. SneakyDragon.com.
You can only comment if you're a parent.
That's right. And I need to see a sperm sample or something that is the lady equivalent.
Oh, I just meant real, like APPARENT.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah,
okay.
If you're a parent. I got an interesting thing today.
Oh, what's up?
Is that I got fired. Now, I told you this earlier, so you can't really react to it like you didn't know that. But it wasn't that I got fired. I got let go from my job that I got started in March, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And you've talked about the job on the show.
I talked a little bit about it, not a whole lot. It was it's been kind of a weird situation. Like, I mean, I guess it happens with most jobs that we start. We come into a situation, an already established situation.
Right.
And you... At least I assume when I come into it that, well, this is it. This is the stable situation I'm stepping into, and we're all going to be working together for the next blah, blah, blah.
Right. It's like it's an assembly line.
Yeah.
Oh, the wheel man's left. I know how to put wheels on a car.
Yeah.
I'm going to step in. I'm the wheel man. Here we go.
Everyone else is the same.
Right.
We're all just going to, now we're going to work together. You know, you needed a good person to work in the warehouse. You needed someone, you know, that knew what they're doing.
And you do.
Could organize it, could get everything going good. And now we're all going to work together. It's a streamlined machine we're going to carry on down the road. That's what I assumed.
Now, how long had you been working there for? Let me just ask that.
I started at the beginning of March.
Okay, understood.
And so...
So about 3 months.
So, yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah, the perfect time. And so, I mean, the first thing that happened was because there was a guy there that owned the original company that was merged with the company that I work for. He was still kind of there in a sort of transitional spot. So it's a transitional situation. So they finally, they kind of forced his hand and he quit basically. He decided not to renew his contract because they had lowered his pay so much that it wasn't worth his time.
Right.
And so he moved on. Then our receptionist, whom I loved, the greatest receptionist I've ever worked with, like the greatest, just a great lady, just a great, really nice person. And she's a lot of fun. She just could put up with me and it was great. And so she quit. So that was, you know, now I'm like, oh, we're two down from the people that I really liked here. And then about a month ago, my branch manager, my boss, she said, oh, I just want you to know that I've given my notice. I'm leaving in a month. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, everyone's going. And so what had happened was when the one guy left, they brought a guy in from Halifax. He transferred from Halifax to here. And he was going to take over this role. But the problem with him was that one thing is he doesn't drive. So he's moving from a place where you could kind of walk around and do your job to a place where, you know, the Lower Mainland, where you really do need to drive. Like, everywhere you go is 45 minutes away from it, everything else. You
right.
know? If you're going to drive into Vancouver from where our office is, it's a 45-minute drive.
Right. Outside of the core, you do need to drive. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, if you're going to go out to UBC, you've got to drive 45 minutes. If you're going to go to Abbotsford from where we are, it's a pretty good. It's a good half an hour to 40-minute drive, whatever. Chilliwack, the same. You know, just wherever you go, it's around that amount of time to drive to places. He doesn't drive, so he can't do those things. He can't go to places and do calls. So then you're like, now we have two inside salespeople. It's a very strange situation that we've got here. The other interesting thing about this guy is that he's basically my brother. My brother that I don't get along with very well.
Oh, you mean he's like your brother?
He's like my brother, yeah. Okay. You
haven't just bonded with him like a brother?
No, my brother and I never bonded. We were always oil and water forever, like from the get-go, from the start. We just never hit it off. And,
right.
And that's fine, you know? I mean,
people are different.
I care for him.
Again, this is one of those things, tying back to your old thing, you had two parents, they raised three kids, you got three very different kids.
That's right. That's how it works. And... Yeah, and we were just too close together in age. Like, they had us about, you know, maybe Maybe we're 11 months apart from each other.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So
you're about a year older than me, and I went to school with him.
Yeah, and so we were very similar in age. We had same friends because friends kind of overlapped, and there's a lot of competition between us because we were so similar in age, mm-hmm. and it just never worked. You know, never worked. And he's a very hyper person. He talks without thinking. He acts without thinking. And it's very annoying if you're a person who's very, like me, likes to like kind of plan ahead and sort of build up to doing something. You're building up to it, and then he takes a sledgehammer and smashes it. You know, you're like, how can I crack
Leroy
this egg?
Leroy Jenkins, yeah.
How can I crack this egg here? And I think of the best way to do it. And he just smash, you know, there you go. Eggs open, you know. Well, that's not quite what I wanted, but all right. And this guy's the same. He's just one of those guys that like the very first thing he did when he came in is I was like showing him to use this forklift. We have this power forklift thingy. He like pulls the power button off of it, just yanks it off because he's such a spaz. Like he's like, hey, he's pulling this, bang! He just pulls it right off. You're like, why would you, what's the point of that? And everything he does, he kind of breaks
because
he's just such a rusher. He's always in a rush and everything's got to be done fast. Ah. And then he has no sense of humor, like no visible sense of humor. Like I've never, you know, if I say a joke to him, he'll kind of chuckle and he'll say, you got that right, or something like that, right? You know what I mean? Like that kind of response, you know, it's usually like a Maritimes response. I'm not too sure what they say to things like that, you know, but it's, you know, something where you go, well, that's a very different response than I would give, but I see what you're saying. But it's, you know, obviously you didn't get that I made a joke, I don't think, because you didn't seem to get it. And he doesn't make jokes either. He just makes a statement.
Yeah.
Just a plain statement of fact. And then laughs hysterically after he said it.
All right.
And it's kind of a goofy laugh. It's kind of one of those kind of kind of laugh like that, right? And you're just like, well, why did you say that? Like, it's not very funny, really. And so my problem is I can't fake laugh at stuff like that. Like, I'm not going to start laughing with him. So if he says a statement to me, I'm going to smile slightly.
Yeah.
In recognition of the statement
politeness,
that he made.
Yeah.
And he's going to laugh hysterically. And I feel like I've let him down.
Aww.
By not okay. laughing at his jokes.
You don't feel bad when you do that to me.
And so so basically though, he's kind of, I don't really understand the politics that are going on, because I don't understand if the branch manager was forced out of her position, mm-hmm. like that she quit, she was pushed on. Like, I don't know if she quit by choice, or if she was asked to quit, or if she's been given a long lead time to leave, or what. I don't know at all. I do know that this guy came in and started kind of making his own power plays. Like everything became about him. You know, he kind of reorganized things in ways that he wanted it. You know, he's like, from now on, this is going to be the order pile. We're just going to put orders in here. You know, and you're kind of like, well, before people would just send the intercom that there are orders and I would just come in and get them. No, I'll just put them here. And every once in a while you come in and check. And you're like, but I'm busy in the back. If I'm busy doing orders, I'm not going to know there's orders here. If you have orders that are pickups or that are like need to get out that day, then I need to know about them. I can't just be like coming out every 20 minutes to check what's going on. Because if I'm busy and I'm packing for 40 minutes, I'm not going to come out for 40 minutes. Like that's a thing. Nope. This is going to be it. This is the way it is. This is the best way to do it. You know, this is one of those kind of people. And then after he says that, he laughs hysterically as if he said something funny. So anyway, so it's been kind of weird. It's been very weird. And today it got weirder. Because this guy showed up from Calgary today and just started working there. He's a nice guy.
Did you know he was coming?
I did not know.
You got in this morning?
I got in this morning. He came in after I came in. Cause I come in like kind of early because I'm a keener. So I come into work early. And so he showed up and we met. I was organizing some stuff in the room and he walked through. And then we introduced each other. And that was it. So that I knew him. And he's a nice guy. Like seems perfectly nice. But then they're talking to me and they're like, well, his job is going to be, he's going to be partly reception, partly working on the machines. He's going to be in charge of putting orders together and he's going to be doing shipping. And you're like, oh, well, wait a second. That sounds like my job that you just described. So that made me start to wonder, right? I'm starting to think this is very strange.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of thinking about it. I was worrying about it. And then this guy, the guy who came from Halifax comes out and he's like, Dave, can I talk to you?
Let's call him Millis. We're not using that name anymore.
Let's call him Millis. Millis, that's me. Come on, Dave. Let's go outside. So he comes out and takes me outside and he's like, okay, I just want you to know. What are you laughing at?
Because I know the story. Continue. Okay. Go ahead.
So he says, I just want you to know the company's going to let you go. Like, they're going to give you 2 more weeks and then they're going to give you a week's notice. And they weren't going to tell you. they're just going to give you your week's notice at the end of time. And I said, we can't do that. This guy's a family man. You know, he's got to know, like, he's got to be able to move on. He's got to be able to do stuff. So, you know, if you need to, like, take some time off to go to an interview or whatever, I'm fine with that. You know, like, you know, I'll give you a good reference, whatever, da, da, da. I'm like, okay, well, thanks a lot. You know, I mean, I was upset when he said to me, it's basically like he'd been punched in the gut.
Yeah, it's shocking.
And my legs felt all kind of wobbly, yeah. Like, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've never been fired before. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing, right? Ever since, besides, I told you, the flyer job I had as a kid. Besides that, I've never been fired. Like, I was just like, oh boy, this is what it feels like. I'm worthless. And then you just start, you're turning in your mind. You're like, what did I do? Should I have done this differently? Should I have done that? You know, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have been doing totally Tintin during the week. But anyway, whatever. So then, during the work day, that's what I meant. But whatever. Like, so then that's fine. We go back in. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to punch him in the nose.
No. By the way, I appreciate that you're telling this story from your heart and being very honest about it. And I love that you slipped a plug-in for our other podcast right in the middle of it. This guy is good at marketing. Let me just throw that out there to anyone out there in marketing. Slips it right into the old heartfelt story. Boom. Did you see it? No, you didn't. But it was right there. Now you're thinking totally Tintin.
Yeah.
Anyway, please continue.
So then, so that's fine. I go back to work. I'm working. And I didn't, you know, I just kept working the way I normally work. And
except
then,
in shock a little bit.
A little bit of shock, yeah. And I'm, of course, ruminating about this, thinking, you know, what did I do? What did I do?
I hear my heartbeat for some reason right now.
Where can I go? Like, what kind of job? I'm thinking about people that I know wanted me to go to work for them when I was leaving my other job. And I think maybe I can give them a call out of the blue and they'll be happy to hear from me. Probably. And so then I'll feel like such a user if I call them. I just all those thoughts like that, right?
Okay. So then my no, you're not. But okay, go
so
ahead.
Then my branch manager comes out and she tells me, I just, you know, came back from, she's talking about yesterday, the day before, and she had this 3-hour drive. She went out to ICBC, blah blah blah, and I was like, is that where? Because she's leaving, right? So I was like, is that where you're going? Because she's kind of been hush hush.
Yeah.
She goes, no, I haven't sold my soul. Because ICBC is like the insurance corporation of British Columbia. Yeah. Everyone hates them because they're our car insurer, the provincial monopoly of insurance, which is actually a good thing, by the way. Insurance monopolies are good because it makes everything cheaper than for one certain group of people.
See, yeah, Dave slipped that right in there. A little informative thing, let you know about stuff. He's really good at this kind of stuff too. Anyway, if you want to hire him, just letting you know. Back to his personal story. Continue.
So then she goes, you know, she says, no. And then she goes, do you know where I'm going? I want to know. So she tells me where she's actually going.
Yeah.
I said, well, that sounds great. And she goes, yeah, I got that. And then I kind of got another plan that I'm trying to get going. And I've got some time with that. But we'll see what happens. Like, for sure, you know, I've got this job lined up. I said, well, that's good. She goes, no one else knows. I said, no, I won't tell anyone. She goes, so you know, right? You know what's happening to you? I said, yeah. She goes, then we're going to tell you. I said to Millis this morning, I said, you better tell him. Like, you better tell him because you can't just give him a week notice. He's not going to have time to figure stuff out. And I'm listening to this. I'm thinking to myself, Who's telling me this? Who's giving me the gears here? Someone's telling me
this is
love.
Good. Yeah, this is one of those where, like, you realize, like, you don't want to, like, be leaving, like, just as the company's starting to really take off and get its act together.
Yeah.
Hearing that kind of thing is like, no, I told. No, you're just like, oh, this place is full of shit.
Yeah.
Like, to my face. Not even stuff that they had to, they didn't have to tell you any of this.
Yeah.
But they went out of their way to just bold-faced lie to you to make themselves look like the hero.
Sure.
One of them.
Yeah, one of them did.
I'm betting I know which one it was of those two.
Yeah.
I feel
I agree with you.
And absolutely.
I'll just finish.
Please do.
With the capper to me, as the capper is. So later, this was in the morning, and later in the day after work, or after lunch, this guy, Millis, he cannot, because he's such a spaz, he can't like put together a machine for just like to demo because he's working at 400 miles an hour. He gets everything all mixed up and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's basically like destroyed this machine. He broke it so that this flywheel inside the set screw came apart. And so I had to take it apart and fix the set screw and get this stuff working. And then another guy who's there who does repairs for us shows him how to feed the film properly. Like everyone else is doing it for him. This guy who walks around like he's a rooster in the barnyard and talks about how great he is. He can't even use like the simplest machines we sell. Like you're just like, what the hell's wrong with you?
He's like a rooster on a computer.
Yes, that's right. That's how useful he is. And so, peck. Oh yeah, and that's the other thing. When he first started working for us, he insisted that he had to have two screens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a two screen man.
Yeah, because he's Minority Report.
Yes, that's right. He's using his fingers and he's moving stuff around.
We got a red ball.
Doesn't work that way. So he's talking to me, and he's like, he went for lunch with our the president of the company. Oh, I forgot to mention, he dropped by this morning.
Yeah.
And that also made you go, what the hell? This guy just flew in out of Toronto? That's weird. So he's there. They go out for lunch. And he says to me, so Louis, oh, I shouldn't have said the boss's name, but anyway, that's fine. Fuck it. I'm leaving the company anyway. Screw them all. So he says to me, so what are we going to do with Dave? You know, I'm of two minds about this. You know, should he stay and carry on? He's a good worker, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, we'll get rid of him, da, da, da. And Millis, you know, says, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to fire him. He says this to me, to my face, after I'm told
yep.
in the morning that the company's going to fire me.
Yeah, he's your best bud.
Oh, man, we're friends. We're friends from a long time ago.
Yeah.
I should have laughed at his jokes or his statements more often.
Sure.
So he says, I'm going to fire him.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him his 2-week notice.
Mm-hmm.
Let him know he's got a week after that.
Sure.
And then Louis, the president of the company, says, and that's the other thing. This guy loves to say, fucking the dog. That's his favorite expression of all time. Of all time.
Now, and the way...
And he has a dog, which makes me very, very sorry sure for his thing. Dog.
You know what life's like for that dog?
Yeah.
What's rough.
It's true. Not by ARF.
That's right. But no, when you say this, like you've told me this bit before, but when you say fucking the dog,
yeah.
that's basically the same thing as screwing the pooch.
That's
which
right.
is a classier way to say it, by the way.
Yeah, screwing the pooch.
But screwing the pooch means...
That you screwed up.
You screwed up.
Yeah.
Messed up. That's what that's it means. Right. But he uses it in the context of...
Yeah, that you're dogging it. That you're just not doing your work. That you're going to slough off and...
Yeah.
You know, so...
You know, when you're relaxing and not doing your job, yeah. You have sex with your dog. You know, that's what you do.
That. That's right.
You know, that old expression that we use in North America.
Makes total sense. I guess it's a Maritimes thing, having sex with dogs. I don't know.
Yeah, someone outside, as soon as you said that, went, oh, God, what's his problem? That's what I just heard outside in a fairly Maritimes-y accent. So anyway, please continue.
Well, I think we do have some listeners from the Maritimes.
I think we have some listeners from outside the window.
Thanks for the caring. So any listeners we have from the Maritimes, please let us know if fucking the dog is an expression for taking it easy on the job. Because I'm just curious, because he likes to use it that way. We had our technician come in one day. He was given a machine he's never seen before in his life to work on. He just had started working on the machines of the company. So he's like kind of fiddling around with this machine, seeing how it works and stuff like that. Next thing you know, Millis comes out. He's all like, you're just fucking the dog. You're just out here fucking the dog. That's all you're doing. I'm like, oh my God, this is like the worst,
Yeah. But let me say this. Sorry, just to clarify this story, I want to highlight this point.
Yeah.
So in the morning, he's like, they're going to fire you. And listen, I'm your buddy, and I'm going to let you know, because we're pals.
Sure.
I shouldn't be telling you this. But
that's what he said, yeah.
Yeah, I shouldn't be telling you this,
that's right,
but I'm on your side, buddy. And then later that day, because he's such a shitty liar, he forgets that he said that to you.
Exactly.
And now he's trying to make you look, he wants to make himself look like a big shot to you. He's like, I'm going to show you how much power I've got.
Exactly.
I'm talking to the boss, and I say to the boss, listen, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to fire Dave.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, do you remember what character you are in this D&D game? Let me show you your stat sheet. You're on my side. You're chaotic good.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're batshit evil over here. Your sheets don't match. That's so anyway, he's the liar, by the way.
Oh,
when the stories don't match in the day, in the same fucking day.
Yeah, he's the liar.
Oh,
well, I'll just finish it. So he says, well, what if, you know, Dave fucks the dog? As they say in the Maritimes. And he says, well, if he starts fucking the dog, I just fire him. He says that to me. So I just said, well, that's nice. That was my voice. Just kind of like, you know, could you be any more disgusting as a human?
Yeah.
Like, F off.
One.
Loser.
One, you're taking my life in your hands and really messing up my life. But you're also doing it in a disgusting way. You're saying it in this way.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, you're saying it in this offhand, casual way.
Yeah.
Also, for some reason, you're saying it directly to me. What am I supposed to say? Yes. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
That's right.
Like, what the fuck response, you sociopath, did you think I was going to have? Like, do you want me to throw a punch at you and then you can fire me now?
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen?
They just don't know how phlegmatic I am, I guess. It's, you know, I just laughed inside myself. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Well,
you have given it away.
Look, I am sorry this happened to you, and I understand that it is terrible and it's shocking. It's like any kind of breakup. It hurts your feelings. It's a bad situation. Let's make sure that has this podcast recorded?
Yep.
Oh, thank God. This would have been a really rough day. But But here's the nice thing.
Yeah.
It's like, if you, during a sign, okay. Here's the thing. Let's say you're going through a breakup, because you haven't gone through a lot of breakups. You've been
No, thank goodness.
Right. But here's the thing. I've been through a lot of breakups.
I'm a not changer.
Understood. I've been through quite a few. I've had two long-term relationships in my life, and then a lot of small ones. Now, here's the thing. You go through a breakup.
Sounds uncomfortable.
Sometimes it's nice. So you go through a breakup, and it's shocking.
Yeah.
But if you take a second and wait, like maybe, I don't know, about an hour, 2 hours, you will hear or see something that will make you go, oh, thank God. I realize now that this is the best scenario possible. Oh, no, that would have been terrible if this kept going. You will, if you just listen, something will be said or something will be done.
Yeah.
You'll see them do something and just go, I couldn't live with that. Mm-hmm. What they're doing there, I don't want to live with that for the rest of my life. So what you got was the real fast version of, listen, buddy, I'm on your side. Wait a minute. No, I'm on your side. Oh, they're liars. I wonder who's the liar. I'm going to tell you now that I'm the liar. By the way, I'm going to be a real asshole to you right now. And listen, if you were working here, you'd be dealing with me for years, and you know he's not going to get better.
No,
you know this guy's going to be fucking you over. It's terrible. So, and you know he's got, because he doesn't know how to like do a practical thing.
Yeah,
he just knows how to shoot the shit and lie to a person's face, but then forgets the lie he told. So, like on any level, this guy is gonna fuck the company up.
Yeah.
You just saw the fuse being lit, and it's going towards the dynamite, and they're going, well, the fuse takes 3 weeks to go, and like, we're giving you 2 weeks notice. Oh dear, that's a shame. Okay, listen, I'll take those 2 weeks notice. That's fine. And then you're gonna get out of here, and then boom.
Well, really, I'm not supposed to know that I'm being canned.
Oh no. Thank God you got all those people that are on your side that are telling you what they shouldn't tell you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like my branch manager sort of told me the other day.
Uh-huh.
Like she couldn't tell me right out, because I think she still feels sort of a loyalty to the company that she's worked for a long time. So she kind of said, there's going to be some changes. So you might want to, take a look around and just kind of think about it.
Yeah.
That's what she said. And so I'm looking back at that. I'm like, oh, I should have picked up on that. It's too bad I can't understand the sort of things people say to me.
Well, no, because you've had basically 3 jobs in your life, right?
Yeah.
Basically 3 jobs.
Four jobs.
What's that? 4 jobs. Yeah. Okay. What have you had besides the, all right, there's a parking lot. There was the last one.
Well, you're not talking about like long-term jobs, but long-term jobs. Yeah. Parking lot.
Serious real jobs.
Farrier.
Oh, Farrier, but that's kind of a freelance thing. So you can't fire yourself, really.
I couldn't
fire
myself.
That's right. That's a freelance situation.
I quit myself.
I can't quit me. Exactly. But like I've been through enough jobs where, you start to smell it a little bit. The fish is going a little rotten.
Mm-hmm.
And the fish never freshens up again once the fish starts going rotten in a job. And yeah, I've had people tell me one thing and then blatantly lie to me and then go, oh, that's the way this goes. So this is your first experience with that. And I'm sorry I'm sorry that world has appeared to you.
Yeah, it's weird.
But like, this is fucking standard. What you went through today,
this,
listen, pal, I'm your friend and I'm going to tell you this. No, anytime anyone says they're your friend and I'm doing you a favor, they're doing themselves a fucking favor every fucking time. No one does you a favor and tells you they're doing you a favor. If I'm going to do you a favor, I'm just going to do you a favor. I will never tell you that. The only point in me telling you that is now you feel you owe me in some way. And I've put a little chit there. And now I can call that in maybe at some point in the next 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Of course it's not going to happen. But then if I'm a dumbass and then I fucking come to you and tell you a separate story hours later, then I'm a sociopath, and that's going to destroy the company. Unless the company, as we said earlier, you were talking about how it's a successful company, and so it must be competently run. My response to that, of course, is there's a lot of successful companies that are not competently run.
Yeah.
You just have to have a product people want to buy.
Yeah, it could be that. Just there's enough money behind it and enough
momentum
to keep it going.
Right. Once the elephant is running down the hill, it doesn't matter the guy on top of it. You go, he's a really good driver. No, the elephant's just fucking running.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. Nothing can stop this elephant.
The best thing that happened today was the technician brought in a machine to get fixed by us.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to work on it. He just picked it up for us and brought it back. And I looked at it, realized what the problem was, fixed it, and it was done in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just said, as I walked out the door, I said, oh, I fixed that machine. It's working now.
Yeah.
And I could say and fuck you all. Fuck you, right. And fuck you. Well, that's the other thing that I said too. Is
did you say that?
No, I did not say that. But as I was walking, when I said that, and then I started walking out, and someone said, "I'll see you tomorrow." And I said, "I doubt it." The president was there as well for that comment.
Nice.
So.
Here's the thing now. For the rest of, like, I don't know how long you're going to be there, like 2 weeks or so, or 3 weeks maybe?
It's 3 weeks, yeah.
Okay, three
Hopefully
weeks.
3 weeks. I mean, I know that sounds weird, but I'm just hoping I can, like, drain whatever I can get out of it.
Absolutely.
Work as far into July as I can.
Sure. Let me tell you what's going to happen in this next 3 weeks. I'm going to tell you what you're going to get.
Okay.
You're going to get a lot of taking you aside, just going, man, I feel for you. They don't know. These guys don't know what they're losing with you. They don't know. And they're going to tell you lots of nice personal things.
Yeah.
And then they're going to give you a lot of compliments and go, I'm on your side. I've always been on your side. Just to let you know. Just want to let you know. And they won't do anything for you. But they're going to tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile, I'm going to tell you what else is going to happen.
Yeah.
There's going to be at least one or two things a day that come up that only you can solve. And you will solve these things. Now, don't make a big deal out of that you solved it, but make it clear that you did solve them. And just solve these problems. And then slowly they're going to go, oh, shit. By the third week, they're going to start really fucking regretting that, oh, this is a mistake. Yeah.
Well, the real mistake they're making is the idea that you can have one person be answering phones, taking orders, making up sales orders, fixing machines, and shipping product,
right,
all the same person doing those jobs.
Right.
Like, that's impossible.
Well, you got on your last job, I would say, from what you told me and what you told our audience, so I don't feel like I'm telling tales out of school, overworked. Like, you did too many things for what your job description
was.
Well,
that's true, but I mean, it never felt like that much work, though.
No, to you, it didn't, because you're good at it.
Hmm.
Okay? Now, Dave, too, the guy who's going to replace you in the future, he's going to come in and he's going to go, what do I have to do? You got to do this, 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 and this, and this. Thanks a lot, Dave One. Now I got to do that shit. Thanks for setting that standard. I mean, the reason it doesn't seem like a big deal to you is because you're a very good employee. You're very good at a lot of things. You're very smart. You're kind of brilliant, actually, is what you are. So you can do all this shit. And in fact, you probably do it so well that you make it look easy. So they throw more things on you. And then you don't feel comfortable saying, I think I'm working too much, or I should get paid more because I'm doing these extra jobs. So they think, oh, this is normal. And they get used to it.
Yeah.
You know, you're the guy who in the apartment cleans everything and does all the dishes and cleans the bathroom. And then the other roommates go, well, I guess it's always clean around here. This is a, you know, it's a real low maintenance place. And they don't realize Dave's doing all that stuff when they go off and do things.
Yeah.
They don't realize it, right? But the second Dave's gone, oh.
The shit hits the fan. Oh,
literally.
The dishes hit the fan.
The dishes hit the fan. The shit hits the fan. Things don't get repaired. And you're probably going to be getting a phone call going, do you mind coming in and teaching blah, 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 how to blah, 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 blah. You're probably going to get a bit of that.
Hmm.
And it's up to you at that point whether to go, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. I've moved.
I'm having
moved
some
on
fun. I'm fucking
else.
A dog right now.
That's right.
Snowy, quiet. That's another totally Tintin reference, everybody.
Look at that. Slipped it right in to the dog.
Okay, one last thing. Yeah.
So what we're saying is, remember all you people who, when Dave got this job, went, oh, damn it, I wanted to give Dave a job. Give Dave a job. Okay, here we go. Or give Dave job advice. He won't take it because he's very low self-esteem about certain things. Don't listen to that. He's fucking brilliant at shit. If you're able to hire him and pay him lots of money. What's the last thing?
That is the thing I'm worst at, actually, is that.
Of course you are. Yeah. Of course you are, because you don't have a sense of what you do, because you're really good at it. So it looks like it's easy to you. In your head, doing these five tasks and spinning these plates. Yeah, I'm just spinning these plates. Yeah, no one else can spin these plates. Very few people can spin these plates. But to you, it's easy. So, and also you're a hard worker. So you feel like, I should be spinning plates. I got no problem spinning plates for eight hours a day.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Sure, I'll come in. I like coming in early. That's what I like doing. That's fucking rare. You just don't know it because you're you.
Huh.
The things that I do well, I don't know are hard because I can do them.
Yeah.
You know? But to another person, they'll see what I do and go, that's insane. How do you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what was your one more thing?
I just wanted to talk a little bit about, I went to the dentist for the first time in 3 years.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. My family dentist that I've had since I was a young teenager, he retired 3 years ago. And it's hard. It's hard when you lose a dentist. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Have you experienced that? Have you been that attached to a dentist? I mean, I saw that.
I have been attached to a dentist, but here's what helped me to break up with my dentist.
That's 30 years.
You know, I understand that. I'm going to say, like, I had a really good dentist for a number of years.
Yeah.
Who's actually behind the offices here.
Okay.
And then what happened to me, which helped me to break up with that dentist, was being broke.
Okay.
So that stopped me from going and getting extra stuff done. So it's been a while since I broke up with that dentist. But I understand what you're saying. You form a relationship with a dentist.
Yeah. And he was, I didn't realize it. But maybe what you're saying is you know, you don't realize, like, I didn't realize what a good dentist he was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he was technically great or anything like that. He, you know, he was actually very simple in the stuff that he did. And if you needed a tooth pulled or something like that, he didn't do it. You went to a dental surgeon.
That's right. He's the main guy that sends you to the other people. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's good because those dental surgeons have really upped their game in the last little while.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
They're good, good at tennis?
Yes, that's right. They're good at tennis. Okay. That's right. No, it's like the dental surgery that I've had to have in the last, you know, 10 years compared to what you had before.
Okay.
Piece of fucking cake. It's so great. You just go in there, have a little of this. Boop, done. What? Watch this TV show. What? Oh, they're doing gone. There we are. Yeah, it's a lot easier now than it was. It's a fucking dream compared to what it used to be. But please continue.
So, yeah, he used to. Okay, he didn't have a dental assistant. He didn't have a hygienist that worked for him. He did it all. You'd come in, he'd sit down, he'd clean your teeth. He'd, you know, do the x-rays once every second year. Like every second year, he'd do x-rays. If he hadn't done the year before, no point. That's his
and
view
also
of things.
Safety.
No point. There's, you know, and he, you know, he was had a Scottish last name. And that explains why all his equipment was from the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
He finally had to replace his avocado green x-ray machine.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of an x-ray machine from the 70s as much.
That's what he had. Yeah, but have you used the new ones? Because this is what I experienced. It's ridiculous.
What?
Like, because he had this, like, a little thin tab that you put in your mouth and you bit down on it.
Yeah.
Now, they give you, they put this thing in your mouth. It's like the size of a deck of cards.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to bite on it and it feels like, I don't know, what are they doing?
Yeah, it's much safer, I'm sure, and less radiation.
I don't think so. They still put the...
I'm betting,
still put the stuff on
of
you.
Of course they do. It's radiation. It's an x-ray. It's not great for you.
The sparks flying into the other one were perfectly safe, I'm
mm-hmm.
sure. And yeah, he would sit down and here's the thing. Like, he would clean your teeth. No blood. I'm not joking. No blood. Nothing.
I don't understand that.
I know, because Lisa used to go to a dentist, and she would come home and look like she had been in a war.
Yeah.
You know, like, the amount of, like, her face would just, like, be swollen from it. And you're like, what are they doing to you? Beating you up or cleaning your teeth? I said, go to my dentist. So that's, we all went as a family to this dentist for a long time. So he retired. Good for him. Asshole. You know, he finally had enough of us staring into our teeth, because we know the highest suicide rate is amongst, what profession has the highest suicide rate?
Assassins.
No.
Because they got a gun there with them at all times. And anytime they feel depressed, blam.
Okay. Maybe that's true.
And then dentists.
I thought it was kamikaze pilots. So the...
Not if they're bad at their jobs.
So then...
It's just a kamikaze pilot retiring after 50 years. And everyone's like, boo! Terrible.
The worst. I don't know. I hit the water every time. What happened? My finger slipped and I hit the ejector button.
I'm just a really good swimmer.
You really fucked the dog. So I had to go to a new dentist. So it took me 3 years. I finally settled on a dentist because I had this really bad toothache. I remember that a little while ago.
Okay, yeah.
I actually thought my tooth would need to come out. It turned out it was injured in some way and it was just like bruised.
Okay.
Which was fine. So I went back to this dentist.
Bruised tooth sounds...
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. But he said the tooth is just like any other part, like a bone in your body. It can get hurt.
All right.
And so I was there. I thought, well, I'll just book a cleaning because, you know, I need a cleaning. So I go there. I go for the cleaning. This is a Monday. And it's good that I went on Monday because if I'd gone yesterday, I wouldn't be able to talk today, which is, I can't talk half the time anyway, but it would have been really terrible. So I go to this place. Okay, one thing is, what is this thing with the television in the ceiling? Like, I don't care.
Distraction.
What?
Distraction.
Is this a distraction?
Yeah.
I prefer to fall asleep.
Here's my problem. I'll say this really quick. I think I probably told you this before.
Okay.
Last one of the times I went to the dentist, I was getting like a tooth filled, right?
Yeah.
And so they were flipping around channels, and it was like movie channel or something. And the Stripes was on. And they were like, "How about this?" And it was like, "Yeah, that's fine." I wasn't trying to. I don't care. I'm probably gonna listen to a podcast or something on my headphones.
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Here's the Stripes," but it's unedited Stripes.
No.
So it was like a lot of nudity, like a lot, right?
But they can't see it.
Yeah, they looked up. Like the hygienist come in and like, what are you watching? And it's women showering.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
John Larroquette looks
like. Yeah, look at what they're loofing up. And it's just like, oh, this guy wanted to watch Porky's while he's getting his... And my dentist is an elderly lady, and she's just really, really sweet.
Yeah.
And like, hey, just lather, boner joke. Okay, moving on. So I was like, no, I can't say change the channel. There's nothing. Don't look.
Yeah, I should have just said turn it off. But they had it on like the news or something like that. Yeah. It's so dumb.
Do you put it in your headphones though?
No, I never knew you could do that. I thought that they'd object to that because they want to ask you questions while you're
no, no, my headphones. It's fine.
Because they asked me questions. They said, like, how often do you floss? I said, I do it regularly.
Okay. If you're getting...
Once a year when you do it for me.
Right. When they're really into it, like if they're doing the cleaning or something, it's going to be a while. Yeah. Put in the headphones. It's fine. Let's do a podcast. Zones you out. You're fine.
I should have done that.
Or music.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Because, yeah, it took a long time.
Yeah, it's a long process.
It was painful.
Yeah, it's painful.
And the blood was flying.
Yep.
I never realized, like, what the... Mm-hmm. It's terrible. I mean, I know it was 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay, I know I neglected my teeth.
There's a bit of me that wonders this. If your last dentist wasn't very good at it just didn't get in there.
No, he was good.
I don't know how you do it without blood.
No, he just...
Like, I don't know. Like, how do you...
He's just very careful.
I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like the gory mess that...
Okay. My wife has a Russian dentist who's very Russian and this kind of thing, and it's very strong, blonde woman.
Yeah.
And, it's a blood show. It's a blood show when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
the way she's described it, she actually gets along well with her, and she likes that kind of relationship. I like the gentle lady who's back here who shows me porn.
Yeah, what are you doing? So, yeah, well, I would like that too. I like gentle ladies who show porn. That's why they're gentle.
Okay, she can't see that I'm enjoying this. Time for the x-rays. Now she'll see. Oh, dear. Well, I'm sorry. I'm
sure it's cold out.
I'm sorry. You were blood-mouthed.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And then that the x-ray thing. I've never experienced anything like that
in my
life.
No, I think that's probably for the best.
I don't think so.
Nope. No, I don't. Nope. No. 1970s x-ray machine versus modern day. Nope. Changes have happened.
Yeah, because things from nowadays are so much better.
Podcasts are better.
That's true.
The 1970s podcast
sucked.
Yeah,
that's true.
It was all Breaker 1-9er. This is Teddy Bear and that kind of business.
I thought it was like the Beretta cast. It's going over episodes of Beretta.
Sure. Yeah. On the CB radio. I think they go over BJ and the Bear.
That's right.
Is BJ a sexual reference? Over. I think it might be over. How about that BJ and the Seven Lady Truckers? Over. I do like the Lander sisters. Gotta say.
I like that you know something about this show. I watched it.
Yeah.
I know that it starred Greg Evigan.
Yeah.
He was BJ.
Yeah, you know I worked with Greg Evigan.
I know that he had a monkey called Bear.
Right. You're kind of brushing over that I worked with Greg Evigan. Seemed to be really brushing over
that.
You
brought it up last week, so I just...
Yeah.
To, yeah.
Well, that's why I know, because I looked up stuff about him. And I grew up in the 70s. So, you know.
But how can you remember that?
Three channels is how. What was your option? Four channels if you had, five if you had CBC and CTV.
We had cable.
Six if you had PBS.
We had cable.
You did not have cable in the 70s. You had six channels.
No, we had cable.
What else did you have? What other channels were up there? You had your ABC, NBC, CBS. Yep. You had PBS. You had CBC. You had CTV. You might have UHF if you tried
KVOS.
Real hard. Okay, you had KVOS channel.
The U13.
Okay, keep going.
How many is that?
Not enough.
And the French channels. CBUFT.
Dave, listen. I'm your friend.
Yeah.
And I'm I shouldn't tell you this, but the podcast is done.
Forever?
No, just this episode.
Shit.
We're going to have to end it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So, everybody... Thank you for listening to the show. If you like what we do, please rate us and tell us because we'd like to hear it. I like to hear it anyway.
Yeah.
Ian could care less. My low self-esteem needs a little bit of pumping.
Yeah. And I like to run it through Google Translate and just hear your voice as if they were angry robots.
Nice you guys, I don't like you guys.
Yeah, and so on. It's fun.
So you can rate to
us. That isn't what Google Translate sounds like at all, but I liked doing the voice.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard it. You can turn it on and it'll say the
yes, sir.
Sounds?
Yeah, well.
I usually just use it to translate words.
What's our sneakyd at sneakydragon.com is our...
That's our email address.
Okay, well, you can a lot of times you can run email through a voice thing. Oh,
okay.
You want.
Okay. So, yeah, you can write to us there.
Sneakydragon.com.
You can write to us on our website, which lots of people have been doing, and we really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I never respond, Ian always responds. Don't think that I don't read what you say and chuckle. And enjoy it, and I'm thoughtful about what you say. I am. It's just that right now I'm really, really busy. Sorry, everybody. So,
but won't be in 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks, I'm gonna have a lot of spare time.
You're gonna be doing lots of essays on there.
I'm gonna get lots of Tintin pages.
So much done.
Man, oh man, not
unless
not
of course you hire Dave, in which case he won't.
Yeah,
so
I won't have time again.
That's right.
But I haven't watched.
Listen, you've heard all this stuff. Wouldn't you like to have this around the office? This kind of business all day long.
Who would get tired of it? No one. That's who.
He'll tell you stories about nudity.
Have I mentioned that I'm an introvert and like to spend a lot of time hiding in a warehouse?
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
This
is good for about an hour a day and the rest of the time turtling up.
That's me.
Yeah.
I need the drive home. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. You can contact us on our Facebook page. Yeah. You can tweet us at sneaky_dragon.com. Or no, it's not
dot com. At sneaky_dragon.
At sneaky_dragon. Thank
and
you for correcting me.
You can review us on iTunes.
Yeah.
You can do that whole star system thing, whatever you think is appropriate.
Yeah.
And then if you throw a review down, well, that helps people to find us, and we appreciate it.
It helps people find us. It raises our search rate. I don't know what it does. It does some stuff. That's
it gives
fun.
Us a hug.
It also, yeah, it's a little visual hug for us.
That's right. And if we get like 10 good reviews, then a piece of candy comes out of the computer.
Yeah, but it's that molasses kind you get at Halloween.
Ooh, the little black cat on it, yeah. Blackstrap molasses kid. Ooh, boy.
You got to get the 20 legs, that's better.
You certainly do. By the way, also, we're still looking for ideas for what to do for our 200th episode, which is sneaking up
on
us.
We've had one suggestion.
Which was massages for fans.
Someone.
Fan massage.
A roast.
Oh, a roast.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good idea.
I'm not into that.
That's
not into that idea.
I don't want to say Dave enjoys his deck. But
it sure is cold out.
Wrap it up. You're fired.
Dave, the company's decided to let you go. Sneaky Dragon Incorporated has decided to let you go.
Dave, do you ever stop talking?
I don't. That's why it's a podcast. Shut up. Thanks for listening, everybody. We love you, even though it's tough love. So shut up.
Shut up for me as well.
Whatever works, man.
And I'd like to, at some point, probably talk about that Saturday Night Live movie that was so crap.
I did not see it, so I'll have to take your word for it.
You shouldn't see it. It's not very good. You got other stuff to do with your life.